You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Thousands of California customers in the Lake Tahoe region will need a new power supplier next year. Liberty Utility services approximately 50,000 customers across the Tahoe Basin, including North and South Lake Tahoe, as well as parts of Truckee. The California-based company sources its energy from Nevada, a majority purchase through NV Energy, which announced it will stop supplying Liberty after May of next year. Both utilities maintain that customers will not be left in the dark during this transition to find a new supplier. They will have electricity. But the announcement has sparked months of media coverage. CAP Radio senior producer Sarit Lashinsky joins us with his reporting about the search for new energy across state lines, the concerns from residents over potential rate hikes, and the role of data centers in this transition. Hey, Sarit.
Hey, Vicky.
Okay, so which communities are we talking about?
So as you laid out there in the intro, the biggest community in Liberty's service area is the city of South Lake Tahoe. There's also residents that live on the lake's north shore, so places like Carnelian Bay, Kings Beach, parts of Truckee as well. So generally the California side of the Tahoe Basin.
Okay, so many people may be hearing of Liberty Utilities for the first time. So just tell us more about this company.
Liberty Utilities is an investor-owned utility. It's one of six that are registered here in California. And an investor-owned utility is a private for-profit company, so it's owned by shareholders. It provides utility services like water or, in this case, electricity. Liberty's more regional when compared to some of the big three investor-owned utilities. So those are, you know, PG&E, SoCal Edison, San Diego Gas and Electric. Liberty's website says it has about 100,000 customer connections in both California, as well as, of all places, New Hampshire. And those California customers are spread across a 7-county area, roughly, largely, again, centered around Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe, in just the basin, is just so unique. It's split between two states, of course. Liberty is a California-based company, but receives electricity from Nevada. So how exactly does that work? Do they have a connection to the electrical grid in our state, like, at all?
So this is where things get a little complicated. The overwhelming majority of Liberty's power comes from a Nevada-based utility company, as you laid out, NV Energy. Liberty's transmission lines are connected entirely to Nevada's electrical grid through NV Energy. It doesn't have any connection to the California grid. Liberty says it has considered building a connection to the California grid, but that this would need a big transmission line basically to be built out over the Sierra. So not something that they're doing right now.
So how common is it to have a wholesaler energy provider across state lines?
Yeah, so it sounded unusual to us when we first started looking into this, but it's not a unique situation. I asked Sanjeev Malhotra about this. He worked in the Department of Energy during the Obama and first Trump administrations.
There are various such situations where a utility buys power from across state lines. It happens quite frequently, actually.
Okay, so it happens quite frequently. How long has NV Energy and Liberty Utilities had this relationship?
The arrangement between the two dates back to 2009. NV Energy at that time sold off its California service area and various electrical assets to Liberty Utilities. And along with the sale came the temporary agreement that NV Energy would provide Liberty with power. Initially, it was for 5 years, but this was later extended multiple times, so 2015, 2020, to get long-term planning in place.
So why is NV Energy cutting ties now?
Well, basically, according to both companies, this temporary agreement was exactly that. It was always supposed to be temporary. NV Energy said its original sale, so back in 2009, came with the understanding that Liberty would eventually find its own energy supply, find its own transmission rights. The end of this agreement between the two companies also coincides with NV Energy approaching completion of what it calls the Greenlink Transmission Project. So these are high-power power lines stretching hundreds of miles across Nevada. Liberty will be able to use those Greenlink lines to find a new source of power, even after NV Energy stops being its actual supplier.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big project that NV Energy is about to finish completing. It's like an electric superhighway from southern Nevada to northern Nevada. So what has Liberty said about needing to find a new power supplier?
I did contact the company wanting to get some interviews or some comments about the whole situation. It didn't answer any of my questions directly. A spokesperson directed me to an updated FAQ page on their website. So on that FAQ page, Liberty says it has been working on this transmission process since about 2019. It says it needs transmission rights from the Greenlink project in order to access that like greater energy market. So according to them, this isn't a spur-of-the-moment decision, that there has been groundwork. They have been laying this for years.
Well, in the past couple of months, there's been a good amount of media coverage about this, particularly about Liberty Utilities, Lake Tahoe customers. What does this mean for them come May of 2027? Data centers have been brought up in connection to this transition. So what exactly are data centers?
It's a lot of news coverage out there on data centers. So these are facilities that house servers, IT infrastructure, computer systems, necessary components needed for providing like online services. Demands for data centers have increased with the rise of things like the use of generative AI. And Sanjeev Malhotra, again, the former Department of Energy person, talked to me about it. And this is what he had to say about it.
It's a supply and demand issue. The demand is increasing, given that, you know, AI infrastructure, the data centers all need electrons. They all need power. The supply obviously is limited. So what has happened in Lake Tahoe area is actually a sign of things to come.
And when he's talking about a sign of things to come, there has been a lot of reporting out there, including from us here at Cap Radio, about these facilities, they're really electricity intensive. They draw a lot of water. And along with that comes a lot of criticism about like the environmental impact that they do have.
Okay, so how do data centers factor into the Lake Tahoe situation?
So the data centers that are swirling around the controversy around Lake Tahoe is largely actually in northern Nevada. So this region, it's really become a hotspot for data centers. Researchers have noted there's more than 40 of them in the works. And these data centers, they put a really big load on Nevada's electrical grid. And NV Energy, an official from them, said last year, told a panel that the company is excited to help like service that load. But he also said at the time that it can't impact NV Energy's existing customer base. When I contacted NV Energy, the company told me it does have plans to eventually phase out supplying Liberty, but those arrangements date back years before data centers were ever considered a factor. And NV Energy denies that the two things are related. So the phasing out of its agreement and its desire, its plans to supply data centers, it's kind of the way they phrase it, kind of a coincidence that it's all happening at the same time. I will note, California regulators said Liberty did cite demands from data centers as being part of the reason NV Energy didn't renew its supply agreement. But again, Liberty, NV Energy both say their temporary agreement was going to end anyway, regardless of what demand in the future would look like.
Okay. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Cap Radio senior producer Sarit Lashinsky about thousands of Tahoe residents in limbo as their utility company searches for a new energy supplier by May of next year. So early headlines led with the possibility that some Tahoe residents would be left in the dark without electricity. They were at risk of that. The companies maintain that is not the case. They will still get electricity post May of 2027 when this agreement expires, essentially. But how were customers notified about this transition? What was the messaging like?
It initially caught a lot of people by surprise. And, you know, it, just the nature of what it is, I think it's very clear. It opens up to that uncertainty of, will I have power? Where does the power come from? One of the people that was caught by surprise was the mayor of South Lake Tahoe, Cody Bass. He told me Liberty and NV Energy didn't communicate this change to the locals.
As a resident, I also was not aware, but also as a mayor, we really didn't get any notice prior to the public press release about this until the public knew about it as well. So, you know, yes, definitely came as a surprise to all of us. The first initial reaction was, in a sense, in a way of panic, like, oh, man, the lights are going out. But since then, again, we've been assured that that's not what's going to happen.
Okay, so how do the residents you spoke with feel at this point of the transition? What is their main concern?
The big issue that's come up is a fear of what this future procurement process that Liberty has to go through to find that new supplier, how it ultimately will impact their utility rates. Cody Bass, again, South Lake Tahoe mayor, he told me he's seen his rates increase dramatically since he's lived in the Tahoe region, and that has caused him to think about what could potentially come next.
I think we're pretty aware it's going to cause higher rates, and that, of course, becomes a major issue for our residents and for businesses and for everybody else, because our rates are already pretty high.
Okay, so what are Liberty rates today? How does it compare to other utilities in California?
Looking at Liberty's website, their latest rate schedule for domestic service, which covers, you know, homes, apartments, and multi-room dwellings, it has a range between 41 and 46 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, in 2018, a Liberty brochure for residential rates were between 12 and 15 cents per kilowatt hour.
Oh, okay. So that's like less than a decade. It has increased, you know, three or fourfold.
Yeah. So when Bass told me he's seen that spike since he's been here, I would say that plays out in the numbers that Liberty has provided. As a general point of reference, PG&E's residential rates, according to their most recent filings, roughly 32 to 40 cents per kilowatt hour. Down here in Sacramento, a lot of people have SMUD. SMUD's rates range from around 15 cents to almost 38 cents per kilowatt hour. And just to be clear, there's a lot of different plans, peak times, you know, different factors that can impact the exact price a customer actually pays.
Yeah, that's why it's a range. But even taking in this range, Liberty's rates are higher than PG&E's residential rates and SMUD's, even on the high end as
Correct.
Well. So given that this is a cross-state relationship, a California company sourcing electricity from Nevada, who is the regulator over these rates? Where is the oversight?
Since Liberty's customers are here in California, it falls under the oversight of the California Public Utilities Commission. CPUC does also play a role in regulating the state's electrical grid. There's some other partners, some other agencies. But since Liberty's power comes from Nevada, that whole portion of this equation falls under the jurisdiction of Nevada regulators. I contacted the CPUC as part of the story. They told me Liberty went back in March. They asked for an approval to get proposals for a new supplier out of Nevada. They need to do this. So they need to ask California regulators to approve this bid process. They will then go out to bid, get their ideal supplier, come back to the CPUC for another round of approval. The Utility Commission also said it doesn't believe there's any danger of supply issues related to Liberty service at this time.
There are also utility advocates in this conversation. What did you learn from them?
So the person I spoke with is Danielle Hughes. She's the founder of the organization Tahoe Spark, which advocates for Liberty customers. She lives on the North Shore. Like Bass, she is also concerned about the impact of a new power source on residents' rates. She told me she thinks they could become some of the highest in the country. She's also worried about when sourcing this new power supplier that there's going to be competition with other big energy users like data centers. But Hughes' concerns also go beyond just the current situation that the Tahoe Basin is finding itself in. She says there are issues with Liberty's operations that go back years.
And then I got involved in the 2025 rate case when I found that we were not in any California climate planning, any mapping, any socioeconomic plans, or any cost effectiveness modeling within state of California policies.
So in addition to some of those concerns, Hughes also said Liberty puts costs from the Nevada infrastructure that it depends on onto its California customers, and that there's just a general lack of state oversight for the utility and how it's operating. I will note Tahoe Spark, as well as some other groups, some other advocacy organizations, they have argued, according to documents filed with the California Public Utility Commission, that state regulators approved rate hikes, cost recovery, infrastructure investments for Liberty, without really a transparent process or an evidence-backed record to support them, among some of the other concerns.
So the Tahoe Basin is a mix of permanent residents, but also a lot of vacation and second home. So how does this play a role?
So Hughes, who lives on the North Shore, she told me a lot of the places around there are those second homes, those vacation rentals. And she describes herself as being among a decreasing number of permanent people that live there, and that she's concerned those residents are going to be shouldering a lot of the electricity costs when demand is at its highest.
Basically, they've set up a rate structure where a resident, permanent resident, has a demand charge. And so we're going to always exceed the base rate because we live here all the time. But someone like Mark Zuckerberg, who's a non-resident and doesn't have a demand charge, but has a high emissions, high peak demand, he won't have a demand charge and he won't be here all the time, but he will heat a bigger area, you know, so have a bigger need.
In the meantime, are there any alternatives out there?
They're weighing their options. South Lake Tahoe Mayor Cody Bass told me his city hasn't signed a long-term agreement with Liberty Utilities. They've had these discussions going on for years, one reason being that the company isn't willing to make the same climate commitments as South Lake Tahoe, so greener energy, stuff like that. Bass also said Liberty closed a walk-in center in the city, which made it harder for customers and residents to pay their bills.
We feel that Liberty has definitely not made the investments of actually almost divested from providing the service that's critical to be able to be provided.
Now, he also mentioned that South Lake Tahoe and Liberty are still having conversations about bringing some of that service, like the walk-in center, back. Danielle Hughes, the consumer advocate, mentioned, you know, looking at what are called community choice aggregators, which I'll touch on later, maybe a rural cooperative instead as options to provide them some power. Bass and Hughes also said Liberty should be connected to California's grid. It's serving California customers. They believe that this would provide, you know, more options for them to source power, as well as, from the advocate side, more oversight from state regulators. But again, that lasting issue is just going to be where Tahoe is located. It's hard to build something that's going to go out there.
Yeah. What have state lawmakers said about this? Anything they could do?
I reached out to State Senator Marie Alvarado Gill and Assemblymember Heather Hadwick. They both represent the Tahoe area. The Assemblymember's office said Hadwick was unavailable for an interview or to provide comment. Alvarado Gill's office told me in a statement that the senator has been speaking with constituents, local officials, both companies, and that, quote, she does not believe a legislative solution is the appropriate response, but will continue advocating strongly for our communities. She said basically the best path forward is to let CPUC complete its regulatory process and then oversee any negotiations with the utility. Hugh said she has reached out to both her state officials as well as her local government officials to raise her concerns, but she's not satisfied with their response. She told me that it's, quote, Liberty's statement, so that the company speak is coming back to her from her lawmakers. But she also says that this may be because local government, state government might not understand energy and energy policy. As we've laid out here, it's complicated, but that doesn't make the situation fine either.
Yeah. So what other options are out there?
One option that both Mayor Bass and Hughes told me about was potentially working with Pioneer Community Energy. So Pioneer is what's called a community choice aggregator. These organizations get power from different sources, but deliver it to customers through existing utility lines. So for Pioneer, it's PG&E. Pioneer's CEO, Don Eckert, said that he's had conversations with South Lake Tahoe for years, just swirling around. He's expecting to reach out and talk with Liberty soon. Pioneer may throw its hat in the ring to be a future supplier as well. But Eckert says a big issue is going to be Liberty's cross-state connections. Pioneer operates in California, so it would have to find those new energy sources in Nevada. That's going to take time, and that's going to take money.
Everything in PG&E's territory is going to be connected through the California Independent System Operator. But there's no tie between CAISO in Nevada. That is the big question that we have to figure out here. We need to do our due diligence in exploring the options of procuring power on the Nevada side of the fence and to see if this makes sense.
Okay, so then what happens between now and May of 2027? What will you be following?
California regulators, they're scheduled to vote next month in July on a resolution to allow Liberty to request bids for a new supplier. Liberty said it's hoping to bring a preferred choice back to the CPUC this winter, enter into an agreement by next spring or summer, so that'll take care of the power situation. Mayor Bass said he's been talking with some of the local municipalities, as well as Placer and El Dorado counties, to sort of bring this like joint advocacy effort for the Tahoe region. He described it as being an alliance. So they would, you know, speak to the CPUC or to Liberty or to lawmakers and just explain their position more effectively. In the meantime, NV Energy will continue to supply power to Liberty customers. That company's spokesperson told me this will be until May 31st, 2027, or until Liberty gets enough transmission capacity through that giant Greenlink project, whichever comes later. So that kind of covers the lights will not go out in Lake Tahoe. As for what comes next, it's going to be wait and see until the next step rolls in.
Well, Sarit, thanks for taking the deep dive and sharing it with us.
Thanks, Vicky.
That is Cap Radio senior producer Sarit Leshinsky explaining why thousands of Tahoe residents are in limbo as their utility company searches for a new energy supplier by May of next year. Still ahead, preserving the stories and cultures of California's First Peoples. We'll learn more about a new heritage center in West Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.